Our gospel lesson for this morning is the parable of the Good Samaritan. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for this time to be in your presence with you today. We ask that you open our eyes and our ears, our hearts and our minds as we hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, I cannot bring this message on my own, so I ask that you hide me behind your cross and speak through me in spite of me. Amen. Since the beginning of this Lenten season, we have been focusing on how to be Lentintional, how to practice various spiritual disciplines that will allow us to connect and grow deeper in our walk with God. For me, each year I tend to have a love-hate relationship with the season of Lent. I love that it challenges us and forces us to evaluate ourselves and our own spiritual relationship with God. Lent is a wonderful time to grow deeper in our faith and to learn how to better devote our lives to following Jesus. But Lent is also hard. It requires sacrifice and discipline and the ability to look past our own desires and look to what God wants for our lives. So each year when it comes time for me to pick a Lenten discipline, I usually think of a couple ways that I can either give something up or take something on. I rarely pick just one thing because I honestly know that I will probably struggle to stick to it for 40 days. I guess I think that if I have a few different options, I have a better chance of succeeding. And I know there's probably something wrong with that thought process, but it's true for me. For example, this year, one of the things I decided to try and do was to give up sweets. But then I found myself snowed in for a couple of days. And I found it extremely difficult to say no to that box of Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies sitting in my pantry. And while I shouldn't have eaten those Thin Mints, I don't believe God was disappointed in me. The true purpose of Lent isn't for us to go a whole 40 days with no French fries or soda. It's to realize just how difficult self-discipline can be. When we try to take on a new discipline, we learn that it requires much more than resisting a craving. We see that in order to actually succeed, we must learn to retrain our thoughts and get to a place where we can redirect our minds away from our own temptations and onto something bigger. Lent teaches us that we can't rely on ourselves to resist temptation, but that we desperately need the help of a higher power. Our gospel lesson today deals with one of the best and most difficult spiritual practices of Christianity. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, We learn about how we are called to love God by loving and serving our neighbors. We hear of a Samaritan man who extended an act of grace and kindness to a stranger. On the surface, the parable of the Good Samaritan can seem fairly simple. It's easy for us to get the overall gist of this passage without having to dig too deep into the details. When we just hear the story as a lesson in helping our neighbors, then the story stays comfortable and doable for us. But when we start actually delving into the details, we find that what Jesus is calling us to do is a lot messier and harder than just lending a cup of sugar to our neighbor from time to time. The parable begins with a wise Jewish lawyer who was skeptical of Jesus. Trying to challenge Jesus, he asks, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, knowing that this lawyer knew Jewish law well, asked him what the law says. And the lawyer replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." Now this lawyer was a smart man. As he considers this answer, he starts to evaluate what this means for him. Loving God and loving his neighbors will work. He can do that, as long as he knows where he can draw the line on who counts as his neighbor and who doesn't. So he asks Jesus, "And who exactly is my neighbor? Is it the people in his neighborhood? The folks living across town? Surely he can't mean those folks living in that rundown neighborhood a few miles away." And then Jesus begins to answer his question. A man is journeying along the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. This road was known to be dangerous. It led you deep into a deserted valley before leading you back up toward your destination. People were known to get mugged on the Jericho Road. It was one of those roads that you really shouldn't travel on alone. And as the man is making the tough journey along the road, he is attacked by robbers, stripped, beaten, and left for dead. Then Jesus tells of a Jewish priest walking down the road. The beaten man probably thought to himself, "Surely this man of God will help me." But the priest didn't stop to help. He just minded his own business and kept going. Next, a Levite comes walking down the road. A Levite was also a Jewish leader, but he didn't stop either. He just moved to the other side and kept walking. And finally, Jesus tells of a Samaritan man who chooses to stop and lend a hand to the man in need. This was surprising for the lawyer to hear, for Jews and Samaritans hated one another and were essentially enemies. Yet it was the Samaritan who saw the man, was moved with pity, and chose to show compassion and mercy on the man in need. Jesus then asks the lawyer, "Which one of these was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the lawyer replied, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The challenging thing about parables is that there's never just one lesson for us to hear. We always find that we can identify with all of the characters and situations at different times in our life. Many of us can probably identify with the lawyer today. We're still a little unsure of this Jesus guy, and we want to know just what is required of us to live and be a follower of Christ. I can only imagine what all was going through the lawyer's mind as he considers everything going on in this story. I'm sure he was wondering why two religious leaders and men of God weren't the ones to show mercy on the beaten man. And as he learns that it was a Samaritan who was the one to show mercy, he probably thought something like this: "Surely Jesus isn't implying that I have to start loving Samaritans too, is he?" There's always someone that we can relate to in these stories. So where do you find yourself in this story today? Are you the lawyer, trying to figure out this whole Christianity thing? Or what about those religious leaders who didn't stop and help? Maybe they were too scared to stop, worried about their own safety, and fearful of what could happen to them. Or maybe they were late for an important church meeting or Bible study and just didn't have the time. I heard a story once about a class of seminary students, all made up of men and women preparing to serve in full-time ministry. The students had a professor that was extremely strict about being late. Being even a minute late would result in points taken off of their grade. So each student made it a priority to make it to their class on time. One day, the professor decided to test the students. In the past few classes, they had been discussing the theological meaning behind what it meant to love and serve their neighbors. So the professor chose to move the location of the class at the last minute. And as each student arrived, they found that class had been moved across campus. So each one walked as fast as they could to their new classroom. The professor had strategically placed a man in need in the courtyard to see if any of the students would stop as they passed by. But none of the students did. Each one of them was so preoccupied with not being late to their class and getting a lower grade that they hardly noticed the man in need beside them. These seminary students were letting their busy schedules and stress of their grades get in the way of what they were truly supposed to be doing as disciples of Jesus. The stresses of their everyday lives were clouding their vision, causing them to focus more on their own needs than the needs of those around them. Perhaps this is what was happening with the priest and the Levite. Their minds were so focused on the next thing that they had to do that they didn't even realize the need that was right in front of them. These leaders needed to work on their own spiritual discipline of loving their neighbors. They needed to reevaluate what they were focusing their minds on and work to look for what God was calling them to do and not what this world was asking of them. Many of us probably feel like those religious leaders today. We love God and have committed our lives to following the teachings of Jesus. But we're busy and distracted. We're so focused on our to-do lists that we completely miss what's actually going on around us. And we miss those opportunities to share the love of Christ with our neighbors. And then we have the Samaritan. And this is perhaps the hardest part of this parable for us to grasp. Samaritans and Jews truly did not like each other. And it was no accident that Jesus chose a Samaritan to be the one to act as a neighbor to the beaten man. The Samaritan man shows us that Jesus' idea of who our neighbors are has no lines or boundaries. Worldly disputes and conflicts between different groups of people and societies has no effect on whether they remain our neighbors or not. When the lawyer asks the question of who is my neighbor, Jesus' answer is essentially that absolutely everyone is our neighbor. Differences, war, conflict, and betrayal make no difference. Every human being is our neighbor. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to love and serve our neighbors, no matter what may have happened in the past. A pastor was once talking to a refugee of war about the story of the Good Samaritan. As the discussion led to Jesus' call for us to love and serve our enemies, the refugee explained that it is this teaching that makes it so hard for him to become a Christian. He doesn't find difficulty in believing Jesus was resurrected from the dead, or believing in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is this call to show love towards our neighbors, even if they are an enemy. The man explained that it is too hard to think about loving people who have persecuted and killed members of your own family. Yet Jesus does call us to love and serve everyone, even our enemies. This may be one of the most challenging parts of Christianity, but it's also one of the most meaningful. Jesus' call for us to love our neighbors and pray for those who persecute us shows just how revolutionary and big God's love is for us. God's love has no boundaries. There is no one who is excluded from receiving the love of God. As Paul writes in the book of Romans, there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. One spiritual discipline that we are called to practice as Christians is to love and serve our neighbors, sharing acts of kindness and grace with everyone around us. And this discipline goes far beyond occasionally donating canned food to a food pantry or donating money to a homeless shelter. While those generous acts of service are good and needed, this discipline makes us go even further. It requires us to expand our idea and our understanding of love, and then to put that love into action. In the Gospel of Matthew, someone once asked Jesus, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." We cannot love God without loving our neighbors. All of us have been created by God and are deeply loved by Jesus. To fail to love one of our neighbors is to fail to love a part of God. Love of God and neighbor cannot be separated. Through showing love to those in need or to an enemy, we are reminded of the grace and love of Jesus. When we choose to love and forgive someone who has hurt us, we are reminded of the many times that God has and will forgive and love us. And when we sacrifice a part of our day to extend a helping hand, we are not only showing the love of God to that person, but are being reminded of the many times that God has helped us when we needed it most. There are people in our lives that are inevitably going to be hard for us to love. But putting this love into practice helps us let go of ourselves and experience the overwhelming love and grace of God. As we work to put the needs of others ahead of our own, our minds will gradually become more and more focused on God. Acts of grace and kindness are direct glimpses into what the kingdom of God is all about. As we choose to help those in need or show love to someone who is difficult to love, we are not only experiencing God, but also sharing God's love with others. This world is full of distractions and temptations. The demands and stresses of our lives and the hurts of broken relationships can work against us, clouding our vision and causing us not to see where God may be calling us to love and to serve. As we continue journeying through this Lenten season, whether we identify with the questioning lawyer, the religious leaders who for some reason did not stop and help, the merciful Samaritan, or even the one in need of receiving help, may we work to let go of distractions and past hurts and open our eyes to the world around us and look for where God may be calling us to live out acts of grace and kindness in our own lives. It is through these acts of kindness that we begin to truly live and experience God's love and grace to the fullest. I will close us this morning with a prayer for Mother Teresa. May this prayer be one of our Lenten prayers, to learn to look past ourselves and see the need that is all around us.